Okay, after Kabbalah Satorah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu warns us that we better not forget what we just saw. We better not forget what happened. The Pasuk in Devarim, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Tes. After Kabbalah Satorah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu warns, Hishamer lecha pen tishkach es hadvarim esher ra'u einecha. Be careful, don't forget that which, and if you were finishing off that sentence, what would you say? Right? God just taught us the Torah. Hishamer lecha pen tishkach, don't forget what? So you would probably say, don't forget the Torah. Right? But what's the Isser? Pen Tishkach, right? Pen is the Lashon of Losa. Say the Ramban counts it in the meaning of Mitzvah as a Lav. Pen Tishkach, lest you forget, as Hadvar Masher, Ra'u Einecha. Not that which you heard, but that which you saw. Implying that it wasn't about the Yediyas HaTorah per se, that there's some other Isser over here. And it seems a little bit strange. The expression Ra'u Einecha, when the real significance of Kabbalah Satorah is what we heard, what we were Mekabel, right? The significance of Akar Satorah doesn't see Kabbalah Satorah does not seem to be about what Ro'u Einecha. Furthermore, in the description of the actual experience of Kabbalah Satorah, so Chazal, well, the Pasuk says that we saw and heard a lot of unusual things. Ro'u es hakolos. We saw things that are normally heard. We saw kolos. Kolos can't normally be seen. Now, we're used to the idea of seeing kolos because when you listen on to an audio file on a computer, so you see the things go up and down or the squiggly lines, so we see kolos, right? But that's not really a normal thing. You're not actually seeing kolos. You don't see kolos. And Chazal have a way of describing this. Medrash comments, Hayuroin es hanishma v'shomin es hanira. We saw that which is heard and we heard that which is seen. Now, what in the world does that mean? I think we mentioned last week, Rav Nevenzel has a yesod that he finds in Rishonim, that when the Torah describes miracles to us, almost always the miracles that are described are at least miracles that we can grasp what they mean. Right? The miracle of water turning to blood, we can grasp what that means, that water turns to blood. We can grasp what it means, that water splits, and that in the middle of this dry land. We can't do it, we can't expect it, but we can at least grasp it in our world. Ro'en es hakolos, to be shomea es hanire, what does that even mean? To hear that which is seen, see that which is heard. It doesn't even mean anything to us. We can't even grasp what the concept is talking about. So what's it supposed to mean to us? How are we supposed to take that if we don't even know what it's talking about? We can't even relate to it in any way. So Rav Asher Weiss has a beautiful piece in the back of Minchas Asher. It's published in a separate sefer as well. He has a separate sefer of Sichos and the Parshios. He points out, Nefesh HaChaim writes that while there are many ways that we're able to perceive things and take in information and process the information, we tend to trust sight more than all of the other senses. Right? They used to have, when I was growing up, they had what they called cola wars. It was a war between Pepsi and Coke. Which was better? So what would they do? They'd blindfold people. This Pepsi ran commercials. They'd blindfold people. They'd have Coke and Pepsi, and people would taste the two. And relying on their sense of taste, they would say, which one is better? So Pepsi ran commercials that people were overwhelmingly choosing Pepsi, more so than Coke. Right? It led Coke to come out with something called New Coke. They felt threatened. So they came out with New Coke. That was going to solve all the problems. It's going to taste more like Pepsi. No one bought New Coke. It was the greatest disaster, marketing disaster, in the history of marketing. Right? Destroyed the company. They had to go back and come with Coca-Cola Classic and then forget the whole New Coke thing. They scrapped the experiment. People still prefer Coke over Pepsi. Aye, but when everyone tasted it with the blindfold on, they preferred Pepsi. But the terrace is, when we really taste things, we don't have a blindfold on. When we really taste things, we see things also. And for some reason, we have a relationship with the name Coca-Cola. I don't know why. But when we see things, our judgment is different. We trust what we see a lot more than we trust any of our other senses. We smell something. Oh, it smells like maybe it's this, maybe it's... When you see it, you know what it is. Well, why don't we say, well, it looks like maybe... No, when you see it, you know what it is. That's just the way human beings react. We smell something, we think we know what it is, we see it, we know what it is. And the same is true with hearing. Chazal, Roshan, Dav Chafem, Beis, Lote, Shmia, Gedola, Miri'iyah. Shmia is not quite the same as seeing. When we hear, but when you see, then you know. However, Judaism preaches that a major part of our religion is being able to get past things that are seen, meaning we can't only trust that which we see. Our job is to have emuna, ve'emunascha balelos, when it's dark and you can't see. That's where we need to have our emuna. That's where we need to see the Ribbono Shel Olam and appreciate him and understand there's a reality beyond what we can actually see. We have to believe that our Mesorah is correct and that our traditions are a reflection of the Ratzon HaTorah and the Ratzon Hashem, even though we don't see them. Ki lo yirani ha'adam v'chai. You can't see God and live. No, we can't see him, but we have to know him. We have to know that he exists, even though we will never see him. Right? That's the demand that Judaism makes on us. Now, our very makeup as people, as human beings, suggests that there's more than you can see. Right? That's every human being knows, I have emotions. Oh yeah, where? Right? Okay, so scientists will tell you, in this part of the brain, that part of the brain, but still, I have drive, I have desire, I have personality. Where? I don't see it, but I know that I have it. I know that I'm not a guf b'li neshama. I know that it exists. There was a big controversy, big talk when they first came out, when they cloned the first sheep, or whatever it was that they cloned first. He says, well, can you imagine if they can clone Michael Jordan? Right? So you'll always have the greatest basketball player of all time. And he'll continue to, you know, just keep cloning him. The Teretz is, they haven't tried it, but obviously major ethical issues with cloning human beings, but let's say you could, would you have the greatest basketball player of all time? I don't know. You wouldn't have a guy who sat there in 1984 at the draft who had to sit there, listen to hear the picks of Hakeem Olajuwon and Sam Bowie come before him. And you wouldn't have that need to prove everybody wrong, because how in the world can you pick Sam Bowie before me? That's something you can't see, right? There's a certain drive, a certain desire, a certain rut zone that genetically it's not genetic. There's something more than just what you can physically make or create or see or perceive. We know it. It's pasha. We know it. We know we have personalities, even though we know we can't see our personalities. The Chinuch says that the basis for all of Emunah is Kabbalas Habanim Me'avosehem Dor Achar Dor, that children receive from their parents generation after generation, Af Shadvarim Ne'alamim Mimara Einenu, even though we don't see it. That's the sort of Judaism. We don't see everything, but yet we still believe. Rav Asher Weiss points out beautifully that there are two Gemaras that seem to fit this idea very nicely. The Gemara Maseches Bava Basra Daf Ayin Hey tells a remarkable story that Rabbi Yochanan was Yosef Kadarish. Rabbi Yochanan was sitting and he was darshaning. Asra Kodesh Baruch Hu Lahavi Avanim Tovos Margali Yoshim Shloshim Al Shloshim. Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to bring these huge gems that are 30 by 30 amos. V'chokik behem eser al esrim, and there's going to be engravings on these gems that are 10 by 20 amos. It's going to be phenomenal. Umamidon b'shari Yerushalayim, and he's going to put them right by the gates of Yerushalayim. So one of the Talmidim was sitting in the shir listening, and he chuckles. Ligleg of a lavosa Talmud. Please, I went buying a diamond for my kala, and the biggest diamond you could find was 2.5 carats or something, and that, even that would cost a fortune. I would have to sell my house to be able to buy it. You're going to find a gem 30 amos, but that's ridiculous. Right? And he explains, we don't even find a diamond the size of an egg, and you're going to find a diamond the size of 30 amos? It's ridiculous. Liyamim, Hifligus Finasabiyam, it wasn't much later that the Talmud happened to have been taking a boat trip. And he saw Malachi Asharis mining gems that were 30 amos by 30 amos. And they were engraving them 10 amos by 20 amos of space on the gem. They were engraving. Amar Lahu, the Talmud says, Hani Laman, you mind if I ask what these are for? So he said to him, Well, yeah, we need to prepare these because these are going to be by the gates of Yerushalayim one day. Also, the committee of Rabbi Yochanan Talmud runs back home, you know, goes right back to Rabbi Yochanan and says, "Oh my gosh, Rabbi, I'm so sorry. You were so right. I can't believe it. Na lidrosh, lecha na lidrosh, kasher amarta kein reisi. I saw it with my own eyes, exactly like you said." So what's the reaction? What would the Rebbe say? So you think the Rebbe would say, "Good, finally you got it, right?" No, the Rebbe says, "Reka, you empty one, you shell. Il male reisa lo hamanta. And if you didn't see it, what? Then you don't believe it? Malaglev al divrei chachamim. You're mocking the chachamim. Nasan enav bo v'nasa gal shel atzamos. He placed his eyes on him, and the Talmud turned into a pile of bones. What in the world is going on in that story? What's that all about? Pile of bones, empty guy, right? What in the world is going on? Why didn't he punish the kid right away when he made fun of the shir? Kid's chuckling in the back of the room. You know, listen, buddy, I know these things. I've been around the block a few more times than you. What are you laughing at? But apparently the Aver was not in making fun of the shir. It was in demonstrating that he wouldn't believe something unless he saw it. And that's the biggest chisaron in emunah a person could have. Because the yisod of Judaism is that we believe even that which we don't see. But he needed to see it. Now this, he reached very high levels just by seeing alone, right? He saw angels. He saw malachim. So obviously he was on some madrega, he was about madrega. But he got there only by working off of what he knew for sure through his own sight. And that was empty. So it's midah k'neged midah. What would we be if we didn't have a personality, if we didn't have drives, if we didn't have desires, if we didn't have likes and dislikes? What would we be? You know what we'd be? A gal shel atzamos. Our physical beings, that's really all it is. That's all we are, is our physical beings. It's a gal shel atzamos. Nasan einav bo. He says, let me show you the way I see things. What you are is a gal shel atzamos. Reka, you're empty. Where's your neshama? Where's your drives? Where's your ratzon? Where's your personality? Where's everything? No, all you believe is what you see. Then you're not even a human being, because all I see is a gal shel atzamos. Some bones and veins and skin, that's all it is. There's another Gemara, I'm going over time here, so just tell it very briefly. The well-known Gemara, Maseches Brachos, Daf Nun Ches, that Rav Sheshes was blind. And Rav Sheshes was sitting with the tzaduki when the king was supposed to come through. A well-known Gemara. So Rav Sheshes tells the tzaduki says, what are you doing here? You're never going to see the king anyway. What are you waiting here for? Rav Sheshes says, you'll see, I'll see better than you. And all of a sudden they hear a loud ruckus and noise, and Tzaduki says, "Ah, the king is coming." Rashesh says, "Nah, it's not the king." Then the second time, there's noise, and what? Tzaduki says, "The king is coming." Rashesh says, "Nah, it's not the king." And the third time, again, it's not the king. And then all of a sudden, it's quiet. Rashesh says, "Ah, hashta asi. He's coming now." And in fact, the king came. Tzaduki says, "How do you know that?" So he says, because Malchus Adar is Ke'en Malchus Adarikia. The Malchus down here is just like the Malchus up in Shemayim. And what does it say about the Malchus up in Shemayim? That you're going to see Ruach Gedola V'chazak Mefari Karu Meshaber Slaim, this wind that's going to break rocks and, you know, cause all sorts of damage. Lo Beruach Hashem, but God's not in that wind. V'acha Ruach Rash! Then there's going to be a Rash after the Ruach. Lo Berash Hashem. V'acha Rash Eish! There's going to be an Eish after the Lo be'esh Hashem. V'achar Eish kol d'mama daka. And after the Eish, there's going to be soft. Something, soft voice. That's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. So good. So he saw what the Tzaduki didn't see. What happened at the end of that Gemara? So says the Gemara. Nasa neinav bo. Va'asa'o. Gal shel atzamos. That same expression. Wild, though. Gal shel atzamos. What does that expression mean? But it means exactly what we said it means. Gal shel atzamos means that the tzaduki thought, whatever I can see, that's what I, you know, I'm in a better position because I can see. And whatever I can see, that's what I could believe. You can't see, and therefore you're never going to know anything. And Rav Sheshes says, no, it's not about seeing. I'm a sagi nahar. And it's interesting, the phrase sagi nahar literally means the seer of light. I really see because I don't see. I don't rely on my sight. I have something much deeper than my physical sight. You're a gal shel tzemus. That's why you're a tzduki. You don't see a Torah shebal peh. You don't see a mesorah. You don't see a tradition. The whole point of our whole mesorah, the whole basis of our mesorah, Sefer HaChinuch says, dor achar dor. Even though it's ne'elam imareinenu. No, you're a tzduki. You need to see it black on white. You need to see that it's in the Torah shebichsav. That's what makes you a tzduki, a gal shel tzemus, and nothing. Based on this, we understand the questions we started with. What does it mean we see the voices? It means that our belief was so great at that time that the lines were blurred between seeing and hearing. Things that we normally hear, meaning things that we don't normally have that 100% belief in, that we have sveikos in, spiritual matters became abundantly clear. We were able to see them. You know, when we see, we think that's 100% knowledge. Seeing is believing. Things that we didn't physically see, we were able to see. That's Roem es HaKolos. Things that we normally see, or we think we normally see. Things that are physical, that seem so pashut to us, because we can see them, because we can grasp them, because they're right in front of us. All of a sudden, we were perceiving those things b'derech shmiya. Those weren't so clear. How important physical things are in our life. Now it wasn't 100% anymore. We were able to gain this perspective. We were able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and perceive the idea that Emuna is so much more than what meets the eye in just a given moment. What's the mitzvah? Remember how clearly you saw things. Remember Masharo Einecha. Remember the things that you don't see in front of you every single day. Remember how crystal clear it was once. When you talk to people who learned in yeshiva and then go out of yeshiva and they go on to college and they get jobs and they get years and years later, the value system by definition starts to change, or there's a big yetzer hara to have it change. The value of, at a certain point in my life, the value of living in Eretz Yisrael. So clear, if ever there's an option, how much would we give up? So much. I mean, it's so clear. But I'm married for 11 years already, and big family here, good job, 3 good jobs, and all of a sudden Eretz Yisrael, the opportunity comes up, and what's the mitzvah? Don't forget the things that were once abundantly clear to you. Just because you can't see them now, remember once you saw them. Remember once you had that clarity. And if you remember that you have that clarity, you're able to grasp that, you're able to keep that going, that's going to be a major key to making the right decisions later on in life.